Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. I'm excited about our guest today. I got to see him for the first time. I've heard of him and read his material for years, but I got to see him at the Scale Up Conference in Anaheim last month. Great conference, great focus on customer service, great focus on human connection. We've got John DeJulius with us today. He's the author on how to provide a world-class customer experience. He's an international consultant, best-selling author of two books, works with companies like the Ritz-Carlton, Lexus, Starbucks, Nordstrom, Nestle, Chick-fil-A, Marriott Hotel, Cheesecake Factory, Progressive, Insurance, Harley-Davidson, State Farm, and many more. John doesn't just talk about it, he lives it. He's a very successful entrepreneur. He's got a couple of companies. One is John Roberts Spa, which is a chain of upscale Cleveland locations, repeatedly named top 20 salons in America. And he's got the DeJulius Group. It's a consulting firm focused on changing the world by creating a customer service revolution. And I'm excited about his newer book, The Relationship Economy, Building Stronger Customer Connections in the Digital Age. John, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Derek. Pleasure to be here.
I'm in the marketing space. We did a pivot a few years ago, a little bit away from the digital and more on the aspirational overall strategy and experience. And when I heard you talk about the relationship economy and just started to study what you're doing with customer service and relationships, and it really resonated, and you're doing it at such a high level. And so I love learning from expert guests like you. Give us a little bit of background just about you in general, and then just who you are as a person. Then I want to get right into talking about some concepts from your book.
Yeah. I've been an entrepreneur for almost 30 years. Opened a salon, just about 27 years ago, and we had no money, no customers, no employees. And so we were going to be different than all the ones up and down our street here in Cleveland with providing a world-class customer experience. And that was in the early 90s, and it took off, and we started growing, and people started organizations, chambers of commerce, whatever, they asked me to speak because of our world-class customer experience. And then that really grew, and wrote my first book, Secret Service, in 2002. And ever since then, I've spent all my time in the DeJulius Group, and where we just, as you said, we're trying to change the world by creating a customer service revolution. So that's where we are today. Five books later, and the relationship economy just came out a little over a month ago, and fortunately, it's hit number one on Amazon and a lot of other places.
Excited about it. Thank you. I've bought a couple of books. You were kind enough to send a few. I'm going to be giving some of these away on LinkedIn over the next couple of weeks as this show airs as well. I bought it as a handbook too. I put it in my conference room, and our management team started grabbing it because I feel like there's a lost, I feel like customer service, and let's dig into that in a minute, but I feel like it's a lost art. And I'm gonna give you a specific example. It's happened more than once for us recently where we've been sitting with a client and they've been talking about how to digitally connect with their customer, and the customer was almost literally right across the street, and they were trying to do a Facebook ad or whatever it might be, or some kind of AdWord campaign. That's all great. I get that. But there was a lost art of actually either talking and outreaching in the community or actually talking to their customers and building that meaningful connection. And that scared me when I saw that. So when I saw you talking about the pendulum swinging back the other way, that was comforting to hear that there's going to be a reconciliation with the actual human connection again. So if you'll talk, just kind of give us an overview about what you're seeing with customer service and customer connections.
Well, I think today's illiterate are those who have an inability to make meaningful connections with others. And, the technology has brought us amazing benefits and conveniences, yet it's come at a significant cost. And that cost is, human interactions that are so valuable to customer loyalty, employee satisfaction, and just overall happiness.
Yeah, and what are you seeing? I mean, why is it happening? Is it this connected, disconnected world? Are we getting lazy with relationships? What is this? What's happening?
Well, you know, the digital revolution has caused, you know, us to be in the midst of the touchscreen age. And the touchscreen age is not, you know, generation specific, right? We have grandparents on Facebook and we have 5-year-olds that, you know, use an iPad all day, you know, and that's their new babysitter, you know, to keep them occupied. And, you know, every age group is you know, on devices more and not interacting, and our social skills, our people skills are, you know, rapidly declining. And, you know, it says, you know, as a scientist, doctors have said a lack of social relationships is equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It has the same, you know, harmful health benefits as you know, smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And they've also have a term that's called digital dementia, and they've, you know, done brain scans with people who overuse digital devices, and they're similar to patients who've sustained brain injuries. And, you know, so listen, I'm not here to bash technology. I love technology. I'm guilty of it. I'm as guilty as anyone. And I have every technology, and I like to use self-service, you know, channels, you know, for speed and convenience. So technology is not the devil. It's not the enemy. Using it to eliminate the human experience is. People, no one's loyal to an app. No one's loyal to, you know, technology. You know, they're still loyal to people. And if you're removing, you know, all the human interaction, you know, you're going to remove customer and employee loyalty.
I love that quote. And John, you know, thanks for indulging this. I was speaking the next week in Nashville after I got to see you speak, and I was speaking about human connection and the disruption with technology. Got to go see your conference, and I was taking my breaks between the conference to work on this. And I think when I went spoke the next week, I credited you like 15 times because what you shared was so timely. And I love, so as I prompt a few of these questions, just know I gave credit to you back. I think I even tagged you on social and said, man, this guy, really, I told people too, I said, this guy kind of wrote it for me, so I just need to give him credit. It was so much great. And you say that technology is not the enemy, but replacing it for human connection or human experience is. That is a powerful statement. I needed to hear that. It really, really sets the table. I think sets the stage for the conversation. If you'll talk to me about one thing that really resonated with me is when you talked about the Ford. Do you mind sharing more about the Ford concept that you developed?
Yeah. So, you know, I love to ask audiences and companies and just generally people, you know, in general, you know, who's good at building an instant rapport with a stranger, you know, or an acquaintance you haven't seen in a while, and everyone raises their hand. And I, you know, I call BS. I say, you know, you could have, you know, met, you know, Derek yesterday at a Starbucks, at a meeting, a networking meeting, whatever it was, and you could have spoke to him for 30 minutes, but you know, that 30 minutes, you could have been speaking about yourself. And we're all genetically coded to be preoccupied with our lives. It's my flight that was delayed. It's my son that got in trouble. It's my client that's threatening to fire us. And so, you know, we all battle that. And so I always say, you know, if you spoke to someone for 3 minutes or 30 minutes, the way you prove to me that you built a relationship is you have to know two or more things of his or her Ford. And if you know two or more things of the other person's Ford, you not only built a relationship, you own the relationship, because to each and every one of us, our own Ford is our hot buttons. It's what gets us excited, our voice cracking, our you know, blood pumping. So Ford stands for family, right? You know, is he married? Does he have kids? How old are his kids? The O, occupation. What's he do? How long has he been doing it? What's his title? What's his company's name? The R stands for recreation. And this is a lot of people's big ones, right? What does he do? What does she do with her time off on their Saturdays? She's a yoga instructor. He coaches Little League soccer. You know, he's a runner, you know. And then D stands for dreams. You know, what's on his bucket list? What is her encore career that she wants to, you know, do next? And, you know, what's that dream vacation that she wants to take? You focus on that, and you know, you got them right where you want them, and you know, you genuinely can, you know, you find things out about people, and it's magical.
I love that. It's simple, and which is important, and it's memorable. And I tried it out. You had even challenged us. So just so you know, I take things very literally sometimes because I'm a geek with this stuff, right? I like to see if it works. That's why we're at conferences like Scale Up. Is what can I take one thing away? Well, I took more than that. And you invited us, I think, to try it on our Uber driver, and I did on that long ride back to LAX, and it was fun to do. And you got me thinking, though. I was in the hallway. We had a client in the hallway at that conference, and they were talking about their family, and I realized they probably told me two or three times, these two brothers that were clients, and I hadn't really listened. Each one of them had four children, and they had different hobbies that were really interesting. I'd never taken the time. I was probably talking or listening for what I wanted to hear. And so I took the moment and wrote that down. And now I remember that, and I remember their kids' names, and I remember what things are important to their family. And so when you talk about that Ford, as simple as it is, are we doing that with our employees? Do I know my employees' dreams? Do I take the time to really care? And then you start talking about customers. Would you go into that a little bit more? Because you gave some great ideas about how to document your customers' forts.
Yeah, and so we do it, and our clients do it. Any software that you have, a CRM system, we've never found a software that you can't customize. And we use Salesforce. So if Lindsay's talking to you and setting up this call, and she's talking to your assistant, whatever, we're populating Ford in Salesforce. And so I could pull up your name and find that you're from Arkansas, and things that anyone on our team can put in there. Sensitive things, has kids, whatever that may be. And every time we have a call, we have a meeting, we access it. It's on our phone app. In my first business, the salons and spas, our call center has a desk pad of Ford. And we're asking, we don't want them to ask you Ford questions. Like if you or your wife is calling to reschedule an appointment, we don't want them asking Ford questions. There's no time for that. But what we say is you don't have to ask. People overshare. So a woman might call and say, I need to change my 3:00 on Wednesday because my daughter's soccer team made it to districts. People are oversharing all the time, but too often we're transaction focused, and we just respond with, okay, how about 4:00 on Thursday? And missing that low-hanging fruit that she was throwing right at us. Now with these pads, they jot that down. And so, when that woman checks in on Thursday, completely different employee checking her in, greets her and says, how did your daughter's soccer team do? And, she's dumbfounded. She doesn't remember ever sharing that. But, man, does she feel important and valued? And so, there's so many ways to do this. We have another client that has the Ford allowance. Right. And he gives his account executives $25. It doesn't give them. They have to spend $25 a month on their clients. And so you want to talk about trying to focus. So you're having calls and you're hoping that Derek gives them something. That Derek says, yeah, I'm just excited. My son just got accepted into Duke University, or me and my wife are going out to for our 25th wedding anniversary. And now that's what they're doing with those, or our company seller has just won a big award, and that they're paying attention instead of just being transactional, answering the questions. And this company that is just world class, and that's just one reason why they are.
Why are we not doing that? Why are so many companies not doing this? It makes
transactional
sense.
Transactional. Right. We're just transactional. What companies don't realize is, and it's really important, so when you hear the criticism of millennials and this and that, well, number one, they're the generation that we've raised. So I don't know why we're trying to diss them. And number two, make no mistake about it. The lack of social skills our society has is the problem of business leaders to solve. And, we can't skip this generation and no fault to their own. They just don't have the inherent people skills. So the best companies have relationship training built in. And, you know, and it has to be trained, because these employees are not coming with that skill set that you and I were forced to have,
right.
You know, before technology took over the world. So, and they're great at it once you teach it to them. So you have to teach it. And, you know, to a lot of business leaders, this might be obvious, but it's not obvious to our sons and daughters and new generation of employees. And to teach them what authenticity looks like, to teach them what insatiable curiosity looks like, to show empathy and to be great listeners. Those are not innate things.
Yeah, that's great advice. Talk to me about, you talk in your book about relationship killers. Can you highlight a few of those?
Yeah, you know, and that's just, you know, things when you are, you know, have a hidden agenda, you know, and people have great BS detectors today,
right.
And they can tell when you know your agenda is on your own, and you know if your interest in others you know is truly genuine. We got to demonstrate that no one cares about, you know, our clients' business like we do. And you know the, it also, you know, not having passion, you know, just transactions next and looking at someone as my, you know, is, you know, 10:30, you know, conference call or whatever that may be, versus really doing the research, knowing who I'm talking to, not interrupting them. They say, you know, that professionals interrupt their customers, clients, typically within 18 seconds. And, you know, so you think about why. Well, you know, I know for myself, you know, being in the customer service consulting business, I rarely hear anything that I haven't heard, you know, 50 times before, right? You call me up and say, John, we're having this challenge. We can't get our frontline employees to, or we can't get, you know, whatever it may be. And I've heard it. And, you know, so you just want to jump in and give them, you know, the solution. But that's, you know, that's not a good thing. And people like to feel heard. They want to tell you, you know, and they want to explain some stories to you. And that's hard to do. You know, multitasking, which we're all guilty of. So here's a great example. In my business, and a lot of my clients have adopted this practice, no one on my team, including myself, can do conference calls anymore. They have to be Skype, Zoom, video calls, where we see the other person. And if at the very least, that person can see us. Because when I see you and I say, man, you know, Derek's a really nice guy, and I, you know, he's laughing. And I also get to see Ford behind you. You know, there's a picture of your family. There's a picture of the school you attended. There's a picture of your most recent vacation. But the real reason why it's important to me is if I'm not on video, I'll start multitasking, right? My phone will be blowing up and I'll pick it up and it's my son who's asking me if he can go, you know, and I've already told him 16 times that he can't, and I'll be replying it. And you might tell me how you have to, you know, go, you know, back to your wife's hometown this weekend because her grandmother died. And I'm not really paying attention. I'm like, oh, that's great, Derek. That's great. You know? And so, you know, that Zoom or video keeps me honest, keeps me on stage, keeps me focused on the conversation.
Yeah, that's great advice. I can't believe we interrupt customers within 18 seconds, but I can remember a meeting with a client yesterday where I was patiently listening to them share something that I had heard 50 times before. So that resonates immediately.
Good for you, man. That's impressive. Because it's hard. I mean, it is hard. And you know, it's not because we want to give them the answer they're looking for.
Right. It comes from a good place, but it doesn't translate well to interrupt them that way. Any other suggestions there? What do you do? Wait, I mean, is there any other tips on? I mean, I guess obviously let them finish and be heard. Correct?
Yeah. So you know, there's a whole chapter in my book on how to be a great listener, and you know, yes. I think we all think better than we are. But when I was doing the research for this book, it was you know, like, you know, getting a horrible procedure done at the doctor's office that's uncomfortable because everything I was learning, I'm so guilty of, you know, not doing or doing too much. So you know, they talk about fierce attention. And if you ask a question and don't do, you know, ask 2 to 3 follow-up questions, odds aren't you weren't listening. And you know, so you should have a 4-to-1 ratio of questions asked versus answered. And you know, a myth of being a great listener is that you should be a sponge and just listen and keep quiet and once in a while say, And they say that's not being a great listener. A great listener is a trampoline. not a sponge, a trampoline. And where, you know, I'm amplifying your, you know, by asking clarified questions. You know, Derek, tell me more about that. Like what made you come up with that? You know, how did you, you know, decide on that path, that idea, that philosophy? And so I'm heightening, you know, your energy. And, you know, so there's a lot of conversation nevers and always, right? Never ask a question because you're dying to answer it. You know, hey, Derek, how was your weekend? Oh, good. Let me tell you about mine, right?
Right.
Never steal their thunder. And that was something I'm definitely guilty of. But I was doing it for what I thought was sincere reasons. You know, you go to an employee and say, hey, you know, weren't you on vacation last week? Yeah. Where'd you go? Oh, me and my husband took our three-year-old to, you know, Disney World. And so you think, all right, I want to show that we have something in common. So you say something like, oh, you know, we've been to Disney World 12 times, or we own, you know, property at Disney. And you just rob them, because what is someone going to tell you about Disney now, you know, versus shut up and just say, oh my God, tell me about your experience at Disney. Where'd you stay? But, you know, and you know, they're genuine, but it's just, you know, things that we're doing versus always remove distraction. One of my favorite examples that I try to do now that I heard about is obviously put your cell phone away. You know, so let's say an employee comes in and, you know, says, you know, John, you know, can I talk to you? You close the door, you close your laptop. But something I do that to really, you know, demonstrate that how important they are to me, I'll actually take my cell phone out of my pocket, right? Which is kind of counterintuitive. And I'll say, hold on, Derek, I want to turn my phone off. And then I put it in a drawer and you're like, holy cow, right. I'm really that important. So things like that, that just really go a long way.
I didn't want to interrupt for one reason, because that would be counterproductive to this conversation. So I feel like I got to come up with three more questions real fast. But I got to say, I mean, these things right now, I wanted you to keep going selfishly as long as I could, because this, I'm taking notes, but I am listening. So I'm multitasking, but I'm listening. But this, and this, right. A lot of these principles are in the book, listeners, so you know, but just.
You didn't hear about my grandmother's funeral I was attending.
I didn't hear about that. No, I was writing notes. I got to tell you, I mean, this is such great advice. And, you know, some of them seem obvious, and they do come from a great place. But, you know, I have somebody that springboards me all the time. I come up with something, they have something, they've done something bigger, better, or the same thing. Sometimes I'll share somebody else's story that wasn't even their own. I'm like, but I was sharing mine. And that's the worst feeling. But I find that I do that too. And, you know, sometimes we'll come in a huddle and our management team with it, you know, everybody's sharing things. And sometimes I think as leaders, with our type A personalities or with our exorbitant energy, and we can actually suck the oxygen out of a room when we think we're actually bringing energy. Any other advice for leaders? Because, you know, we come from a good place. We want to motivate our teams, but I think we can get in our own way too. I love this advice that you're giving about shutting up and listening and focusing.
Well, and that's great. And it leads me to, you know, some really good leadership things. So what we've done, we better know the Ford of our employees, our direct reports. And I've been guilty of this. You know, we'll do an exercise in our company and, you know, for other clients, and we'll give each leader a list of their direct reports, people that, you know, they oversee. And then we'll say, all right, Derek, you got to fill out your 12 employees that report directly to you. They're Ford. And the O doesn't count because you know where they work, right? Mm-hmm. And I've seen this, and I personally have struggled with doing it on my own, where, you know, my assistant, she's been my assistant for 3 years, right? And she's married, but God, I don't remember her husband's name. Or, you know, she has a kid. I don't know if it's a girl or a boy. I mean, that's horrible, right? I mean, that's horrible. And you know, there's another thing about, you know, energy givers and energy suckers, right? And and you know, as leaders, you know, we got to be energy givers. So some characteristics of that is that you raise the confidence of everyone that you come in contact with. You know, you're constantly showing gratitude and thanks and giving other people the credit. The energy in that room picks up when you walk in. It doesn't, you know, you're there for others when they're struggling or going through hard times. You know, your employees' biggest cheerleaders. You find out what their goals are and you help them, even if it's outside of the company or it's a different career someday. And you walk through a fire for those on your team. If you're willing to do that, they will do that for you.
Great advice, John. We've got just another minute left. I wish, you know, selfishly, I wish we could just talk all day because I'm learning so much. But and I know our listeners will as well. A lot of these principles are in your book, and at your website as well. There's some other opportunities. Any final thoughts you want to share, and then I want to give a plug for specifically for your book as well.
I just have a quote that pops up every morning on my phone at 6 a.m. that, you know, is really important to me. And it just the quote goes, act as if today's the day you'll be remembered for how you treat others. And I just like to do that intentionally, right? Act as if today is the day you'll be remembered for how you treat others.
Super powerful. John, thank you again for being with us today. Your book, The Relationship Economy, Building Stronger Customer Connections in the Digital Age. You can find that in stores near you, and you can find that, I'm assuming, on Amazon and other online sites.
Yeah, anywhere. Yeah, excellent. Absolutely.
And what website would you like for our listeners to visit to learn more information?
TheDJuliusGroup.com, TheDJuliusGroup.com, and DJulius is DIJULIUS.
John, I really appreciate your time. You know, again, you're the timing of me getting to see you and some things in my business and personally and with other things just couldn't be better. And so along my journey, this is just a great, that's why I wanted to talk with you and be honored to have you on. It's just very timely with what you're sharing, the message you're sharing. I think it's so relevant and important to hear. I think it's a game changer personally and professionally for people with their families and with their businesses and their community to understand how to connect better, to shut off technology sometimes, understand where it fits. So thank you again. And I look forward to watching the next great things that you're doing.
Thank you, Derek. It was an honor to be on your show.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.